from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum in our opening hour this morning, in the first half hour, California gas prices hit a record high and prices are expected to continue to rise. We'll get expert response and analysis and then hear your thoughts and reactions. Then at 9:30, President Obama had one welcome bright spot in a week when challenger Mitt Romney was widely considered to have won their first debate, and that was the jobs report. The nation's unemployment rate is at the lowest rate since the month President Obama took office, and that's according to the latest Labor Department report. We'll talk about jobs and the presidential campaign in our second half hour. Forum is next after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. Gas prices in California hit an all-time high over the weekend due largely to reduced supply and a volatile market, and the expectation is for more of a cost increase in the next few days. We want to discuss the state's price rise in gas, and it is now the highest in the nation. And joining us for this discussion is Severin Borenstein. He's professor at UC Berkeley's Haas School of Business, co-directs the Energy Institute at Haas, and welcome, Professor Borenstein.
Thank you.
Glad to have you. Also glad to have Cynthia Harris, who is a spokesperson for the AAA in Northern California, based in San Francisco. Welcome, Cynthia Harris.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I'm looking at prices here, and they are going kind of sky high. Even in Long Beach, Cynthia Harris, they're up above, one station up above $6.65. How long is this going to go on?
Well, that's a very good question, and it would be highly speculative to say exactly when. I don't think anyone knows, but there is good news because prices have gone up only 1 cent from yesterday. Today in San Francisco, we have reached $4.74 a gallon of unleaded regular. Yesterday it was $4.73. Now, a week ago it was $4.27. That was a 47 cent jump in a week. But right now we are starting to see a trend of slowing down, and a lot of this has to do with the fact that the refinery in Southern California now is back online.
This is Torrance, excuse me?
Yes, exactly. The Exxon refinery in Torrance, California is back online as of last Friday. So basically things are starting to normalize, but we did see an incredible jump in gas prices. Now, having said that, though, today in San Francisco, we have reached the highest recorded price ever. We have beat the price of $4.62, which was registered in June of 2008.
Well, you mentioned the power failure down in Torrance. That was on, it's back in action, as you've indicated. But what about the fire at Chevron's refinery? I mean, how much has that affected this whole thing?
That definitely affected us. That was a spike that occurred in August, and we're still feeling the effects of that. They are not yet up to full capacity. Besides that, we had a pipeline interruption last week as well on Wednesday. A Chevron pipeline that delivers crude oil to Northern California wasn't interrupted for a malfunction. And we had a Phillips 66 refinery in Southern California that was closed for maintenance, scheduled maintenance that is very common with all refineries. So all of these refinery issues created this perfect storm, and we saw extremely high gas prices last week. But it was a short-term trend, and we are starting to see finally some stabilization in the gas prices.
This is Cynthia Harris, AAA's Northern California spokesperson based in San Francisco. Severin Borenstein is with us as well, professor at the UC Berkeley Haas School of Business and co-director of the Energy Institute at Haas. And the slowdown, at least the temporary slowdown, Professor Borenstein, how much does that have to do with Governor Brown actually coming out and saying that it's okay now to have winter blended gasoline sold in California?
Probably not a lot yet. We saw the wholesale price of gasoline start to slow down actually on Friday and drop. And so even without Governor Brown's intervention, I think we would have started to see prices level. Governor Brown has actually asked the Air Resources Board to approve winter blend. I don't know if that's actually gone through the Air Resources Board. So we certainly aren't seeing that gasoline in the supply yet.
That's the Air Resources Board, yeah.
Yeah, the California Air Resources Board. And when we do, that will help push down prices as well. But I think that what we're seeing right now is a reflection of the fact that the Exxon refineries come back online And probably we saw a bit of overbuying out of concern that we'd have a real squeeze. You started the piece with this introduction of some retail stations that are charging $5 or $6 a gallon. And I think it's worth putting those in context, particularly with the AAA numbers where the average is much lower. What we see when we get these sorts of outages is some refineries that have name brand stations, whether it's Chevron or Shell or Tesoro, they send gas to their own stations first when they have a shortage. And so what happens first when we see this sort of shortage in the market is the off-brand stations have a harder time buying gas and face much higher prices. And as a result, you sometimes see these off-brand stations raising their prices to really levels that are really out of sync with the market. So others, like Costco, just choose to shut down. Rather than selling at a much higher price, they say that might hurt their reputation. They just say, no gas today.
Well, it's not like Costco. There are a number of station owners who decide to shut down their pumps, and we're actually seeing a great number of stations charging $5 or more a gallon. I wonder, though, Senator Feinstein just yesterday said that California's record gasoline prices may be, and I'm quoting here, the results of an illegal short squeeze engineered by the handful of companies that refine gas here. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's unlikely that it is. I think there's no evidence of the station of the refiners actually colluding. If they did, that would be a clear violation of the antitrust laws, and I think oil companies are extremely sensitive to those issues. So I think that's very unlikely. It is possible that one or two of the refineries have figured out that by producing a little less gasoline, they can raise prices in the market. And that's just a function of the fact that we have a very small set of refining companies that supply the vast majority of the gasoline for California. When they do it, they have other options for what to do with their production capability. They can produce gasoline for out of state, and they do that, and they can produce diesel and send it out of the state or keep it in the state. And so when they make those trade-offs, one of the things they're probably aware of is the fact that putting more gasoline on the market will lower the price in the market. The problem is that we're just in such a tight market in California that we've put a few producers in a position where they really can move the price of gasoline.
But you're advocating bringing more gasoline in from out of state, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Actually, I'm advocating bringing in gasoline that doesn't meet California specifications only during these spikes. And the way you would do that is by allowing gasoline from that doesn't meet California specifications, but with a premium fee to the refiner that brings it in, say 25 cents a gallon. That's much more than the cost differential. So during normal times, no one would ever bring in non-California gasoline. But during these spikes, what would happen is once the price went high enough in California, a 25 cent differential, it would make sense to sell some of the gasoline that still meets federal reformulated gasoline standards, but doesn't meet California. Now, that's not quite as clean as California's gasoline, and there's a good reason that we should be using California's gasoline. It has clear health benefits. But during these spikes, a little bit of non-California gas, just as a little shortage drives prices through the roof, a little bit of that gas would bring price back down again.
All right, I'm sorry, you had something else, Professor Brunson?
We wouldn't actually be bringing it in from out of state, because we produce gasoline in California that gets shipped out of state. So if some of that gasoline were simply kept in California and sold here during these spikes, that would sort of take the top off the spike and keep us from getting too out of line with the rest of the country.
Let me take this opportunity to invite those of you listening to join us. How are you coping with the gas crisis, if it indeed is a crisis, and certainly many people's pocketbooks with respect to their own mind and their own attitude about this? It's costing a lot more for gas, and, not only how are you coping with it, but your thoughts about California being the highest in the nation right now. Let me give out the phone number and invite you to join us. This is a half-hour segment, so if you have some thoughts or questions for either Professor Borenstein or Cynthia Harris from AAA, now would be the time to bring them to the fore. We are going to, in our second half-hour, go ahead with what we had planned and talk about the effect of the new labor statistics and unemployment on the presidential campaign. But if you have some thoughts about what is going on at your gas pumps and the cost, feel free to join us now. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786. We do welcome your phone calls, so feel free to join the program. 866-733-6786. You can also, of course, email us, and our email address is forum@kqed.org. Or post any questions or comments you have on our website by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on the segment, or going to our Facebook page and posting questions or comments there, or putting them there, I should say. And you can also tweet us, and our Twitter handle is simply @KQED Forum. Talking with Severin Borenstein, professor at UC Berkeley's Haas School of Business and co-director of the Energy Institute at Haas, and with Cynthia Harris, spokesperson for AAA Northern California based in San Francisco. I wonder, Cynthia Harris, Professor Borenstein said it's unlikely that Senator Feinstein's charge about engineering going on by the handful of companies that refine gas here. You have any thoughts on that?
Well, actually, this is something that AAA would be very, very interested in following, and we are looking at this very closely. But what we really feel is that as an individual, as a consumer, you need to take responsibility for your own expenses and how you shop for gas. So basically what we like, we are advocates for safe and reliable transportation and for consumers. So any measure that can be taken to save motorists money at the pump, we would support it, such as this waiver. But also what we like to emphasize is that we do have a responsibility as individuals, and there are a lot of things we can do to save money at the pump, to consume less, to take care of our vehicles so that we can expand that gas that's in our tank. And that's basically also the message that we like to get, that we need to be proactive in this, because as Californians, we are very, very used to the volatility in gas prices, especially in the last 2 to 3 years. And this is something that Californians have dealt with, and quite well, I must add, because this is something that has changed the mode of driving, the behavior, the shopping trends that we have seen, and the travel trends of Californians. So this definitely has been brought on by the volatility of gas prices that we have seen over the years.
Well, we've talked about volatility of gas prices in California, and Severin Borenstein, we talked about the Chevron pipeline and the fire at Chevron and the power failure at Torrance Refinery. But how much of this goes back? I mean, California has now leapfrogged over Hawaii in terms of gas prices and set at this present moment the highest national cost. How much of this goes back to the 1996 special blend for lowering pollution?
A lot of it does. I mean, the fact is that we use a different blend of gasoline in California than the rest of the country, but it is a cleaner burning blend. There's been research that shows, in fact, California's blend is probably the only one that is having a significant impact on reducing ozone, and the health benefits almost certainly greatly outweigh the additional cost we're paying. But it's unfortunate that the rest of the country hasn't followed along. Certainly the hope was back in 96 that we would lead the way on this. The rest of the country would figure out this is a good idea and would adopt it. And that would make our lives much easier, because right now when we have an outage, we don't have any buffer from the surrounding states where we can bring gasoline in to smooth that out. And so we are out there on our own, a bit of an island in the gasoline market. And when we have these outages, we see much bigger spikes than we would if the rest of the country used this blend. But I don't think we want to think of this as a reason that we should abandon the California specification, because there is good evidence that it is actually improving air quality much more than the gasoline used in the rest of the country.
Yeah, let's bring in our callers. And Kathy, you're our first caller up. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Love the show. I just drove over from Berkeley, and I just want to comment that there was almost no traffic today. The toll booth was clear, the bridge was clear, and there had even been an accident a little bit earlier. So my point is...
Well, of course, it's a holiday, Kathy. It's Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day, whatever you want to call it, but it's technically a holiday.
Okay. That I agree, yes. But I'm just wondering what would happen if we just let gas prices rise and use that as an opportunity to reduce consumption. And I'm not somebody who makes a lot of money and can afford high gas prices, but I know it's a motivator for me to make alternative choices as far as how I get to work. I do commute to the city regularly. So I know I'm overlooking a lot of economic issues here, but sometimes I think we should just gas prices rise and be motivated then to find alternatives?
Well, it's an important question. Professor Bornstein, I'm sure you can shed some light on this.
Well, I think there is an argument that higher gas prices get people out of their cars, get people to buy more fuel-efficient cars, and get people to use their cars more efficiently with carpooling and so forth. We probably don't want to see that happen, though, through these price spikes where a lot of money flows to the refining companies. If we wanted higher gas prices to encourage people to shift away, raising our gas taxes would make more sense, and then using that money to offset income taxes or other state expenditures. And I've been advocating that for a long time. I think that we should be taxing things we want people to do less of, like driving, and not taxing things we want people to do more of, like working. So, I think it's still, unfortunately, just in public policy terms, a non-starter.
And let me thank Kathy for the call and bring on Stephen joining us. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. My question is simple. Why is it that the consumer is being penalized for some, the shortages of any gas company?
How would you respond to that, Cynthia Harris?
Well, I'm not really sure that we are being penalized. That is the feeling that we get because we are the consumers at the end of the day. We are at the pump buying the gas. It's a very good question, and I'm not sure I have the exact answer to that. But one thing that I do know is that a lot of people, because questions that I get from reporters, is that we tend to blame the retail station owners for the high gas prices, when we know they are being squeezed as much as the consumer. And the truth is that for every dollar that a retail station purchases gas, 70 cents of that here in California goes to federal, local, and state taxes. And so, therefore, it's not just the consumer here that is in a very precarious situation, but it's also the retailer. And as far as being penalized, maybe Professor Bornstein could elaborate on that, on how you feel about this.
Severin Bornstein?
Yeah, I want to clarify something Cynthia just said, because I don't want to, that 70 cents of the entire gallon goes to taxes, not for every dollar. So it's not the case that 70% of your expenditures on gasoline are going for taxes. Most of the expenditures on gasoline are going for the price of oil. It is true that when we see a shortage in the market, the price goes up. That is the supply and demand interaction that we'd expect, and consumers do get hurt. And if you're a supplier of gasoline who can still bring gas to the market, you make a lot of money. So other refiners in the state who don't have a supply problem right now are doing quite well. That is the natural interaction of supply and demand, just as prior to the housing crash, if you had bought a house in the 90s and still owned it in 2005, you could sell it for a lot of money, not because you were manipulating the market, but because demand was very strong relative to supply. When we have tried to do something about this, to stop penalizing consumers by capping the prices of gasoline, we tried that in the 1970s, and the result, of course, was a shortage of gasoline and long gas lines. And as much as people don't like high prices, they really don't like sitting in line for an hour to buy gasoline.
I'm looking at a couple of listeners' responses via email that suggest, again, some kind of collusion. And I wonder, Severin Bornstein, if you could address these. Joe, for example, writes, is there any indication that the refinery owners are manipulating gas prices to encourage people to vote Republican? We know that the refineries are not friendly to the Democrats, and by raising prices, they're furthering the belief that the Democrats have no handle on the economy. And Robert says, with some things that have happened in the past, think Enron, how can we be sure the shortage is not being manipulated to try to get consumer backlash to dump needed regulations? Is this, once again, profit over everything else? When of course, hears these sees these flares, warning flares being put out whenever this kind of thing happens, maybe you can illuminate this for us, Professor Bornstein.
I doubt I can. I really think that there's no evidence that the refiners are colluding, that is, actually getting together, either for political reasons or economic reasons, because I think that the antitrust backlash for that and the potential to actually for these executives to go to jail is something they take quite seriously. The Department of Justice has prosecuted cases of collusion and has sent executives of major corporations to jail. However, I do worry that individual corporations may have an interest to not put quite as much gas on the market in order to keep prices high. And that's actually something that isn't illegal. There's no law that says you have to produce all you can. But it is something that I worry about because we're in a market where any one producer, or a few at least of the largest producers, do affect the price of gasoline. And once they recognize that, they might very well take that into account in deciding how much to produce. And that's why I think we need to have some sort of safety valve, alternative supply, when our prices get out of line with the rest of the country.
Well, here's John who writes, Michael, we should recognize that what we are seeing now is a direct result of the regulations California imposes, environmental regulations, forbid new refineries. We require a unique blend of fuel, etc. The result is persistently high gas prices and spikes when there is a disruption in supply. Another listener, Xavier, writes, we've been spoiled with cheap gas for so long compared to the rest of the world. If you can't afford to drive, don't. Simple as that. And Frank from Berkeley raises an interesting question, Cynthia Morris, about difference between costs in regular gasoline and diesel. He says, I have a new VW diesel car, and note with some gratification, the diesel fuel in my Berkeley, Albany neighborhood is priced approximately at $4.40 a gallon, about 20 cents less per gallon than gas. Why the difference? Cynthia, are you there?
Oh, sorry. No, you know, that's a good question, and that's that is something that I would think that because of the current spike right now with spot gasoline and regular gasoline, which is really in demand, spot gasoline, which is meant to be consumed immediately, that has gone up very highly, and that has been, I believe, more requested than diesel gasoline. I'm not really quite sure how to answer that, though. Maybe it has to do with the price of spot gasoline at this precise moment in this week where we have seen such tremendous spikes.
Well, let's bring another call on, and that's you, Dean. Welcome. You're on the air.
All right. You guys mentioned earlier about alternative fuels. I drive a natural gas car, and I pump it up at home. It barely costs me $1.50 a gallon to fill it up. It's time to revisit alternative fuels.
Well, yeah. We'll take that as an editorial comment.
But if I can chime in, Barstein, Michael,
yeah, go ahead.
I think that's absolutely right. Natural gas is very cheap right now, and if you have a natural gas car, running it is a whole lot cheaper than buying gasoline. It does require a new investment to buy the car. And it's a bit inconvenient if you're out and you need to refuel. You can set up a way to do it at home too, although that costs a few thousand dollars, is my understanding. But the real question is natural gas going to stay that cheap? If it does, I think we are going to see a move towards more natural gas vehicles because the economics of them is looking very good right now.
Well, here's a listener, and by the way, you can post, even though we're going into another segment shortly, you can post any comments you have on our website by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on the segment. And Zach writes, I'm moving from Oakland to Eureka in a few weeks. Gas prices on the North Coast are usually higher than the Bay Area, so I'm now planning on spending $200 for gas, and that's more than the truck rental. We have time for another quick call, and that's you, Len. Hi.
Hi, Michael. I'm calling about an article that was in the Chronicle on the 18th of August about the price spike on the 6th of August due to the Chevron Richmond fire.
Yeah.
And the article says basically there was no decrease in supply. This is in the business section. That.
Right, we're up against the clock here. And Severin Bornstein, we've been assuming that there was a reduction in supply because of that refinery.
Well, I've heard different things about the long-run effect. This was actually a unit that feeds processed crude into the production process, and so it's possible that they actually had an inventory for a while to keep feeding the crude in, but now they are running into problems producing more of that purified crude.
We'll have to leave
crude.
It there. Thank you, Severin Bornstein. Thank you, Cynthia Harris. Another segment up ahead. We're going to talk about labor statistics. I'm Michael Krasny.